Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beam me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Glad you're with us on a fine Friday. It's a Target Demo Friday. So let us know what you're doing as you listen to the show, where you're at, by tweeting at me, D.A. on CBS, or firing off on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. Thanks to our friends here at 1230 The Zone in West Palm Beach. I'm down here for spring training action, covering some spring training games. Took in the Sweet 16 games last night as well from one of the epic sports bars down here. And I'll tell you that our affiliate here that carries the DA show on a daily basis, the full 3 hours, is fantastic. 1230 The Zone in West Palm Beach, tremendous host. So thanks very much to them for hosting us, and thanks very much for them for being part of the DA show family. Coming up next hour, Steve Lavin from Turner Sports on last night's college basketball action. Coming up also, an NBA team losing by 61 and Dwight Howard's 30-30 that happened the other night that I want to get into as well and what it means historically. Last night, Loyola Chicago, the Ramblers continue to dance. They have been the story thus far of the NCAA tournament, certainly UMBC doing what they did. But note that when we talk about stories of the tournament, it is the underdogs. It is the small schools. It is the Cinderellas. That's what we love. And that's why I'm so happy Loyola of Chicago is doing this. Look, I know K-State is a 9 seed. I know Florida State is a 9 seed. I know Syracuse is an 11 seed. But it's hard to say anybody out of a power conference is a Cinderella. Because that just means that those teams in their power conferences went 500 in their league. If you're a 9 seed like FSU, like K-State, an 11 seed like Syracuse, that just means you had an underwhelming regular season and an underwhelming postseason in your conference tournament. That's what that means. But if you're an 11 seed like Loyola Chicago, they were 31-5 this year. So I love it. I like that this is a flipping the bird, a middle finger to the selection committee. Hey, we're still dancing. We're here too. And that's why we need more mid-majors and low majors in the tournament, because they can win. George Mason went to a Final Four. VCU went to a Final Four. Wichita State went to a Final Four recently. Loyola of Chicago is in the Elite Eight, people. And they're going to be taking on a 9 seed for a trip to the Final Four. I did some research for you because that's the type of sports talk radio host I am. Do more. That's why I demand that out of Mraz. Do more. So I went through Loyola Chicago's notable alumni list to give us some context on who and what Loyola Chicago is. Entertainment. How about the great Bob Newhart, graduate of Loyola Chicago? How about that? I kept looking. I kept trying to find somebody else you may have heard of, and I couldn't. Although, John York, co-owner of the 49ers, a Chicago Loyola grad. How about George Halas Jr., as in the great George Halas, the legendary George Halas, a Loyola Chicago grad.
How about that?
Former owner of the Bears. But nothing impressed me more than going through their alumni list than the name Sho Yano. And you know, because he was listed as a prominent alumni with the bio Child Prodigy. Now imagine how cool that would be if people remembered you solely from two words, Child Prodigy. This piqued my interest. Sho Yano. What did Sho Yano do to become a child prodigy? Originally from South Korea, he was reading by age two, writing by age three, playing classical music on the piano at age four, and composing by age five. At the age of eight, he took the SAT. You know what he scored in his SAT at eight? 1,500 out of 1,600. What? He doubled Mraz at age eight.
Unfair shot.
He did what?
By golly, Miss Molly.
Am I lying? He got a 1,508 age eight. He graduated summa cum laude from his high school at age 12. Okay? He graduated from his high school at age nine. He entered Loyola University of Chicago, this same school, that year. This kid entered college at 9 years old, Loyola University of Chicago. Look, God bless Sister Jean. I love her to death. But can I get a Sho Yano on that TV screen? I want to know how Sho Yano is handling this Ramblers run.
Call your friends, folks.
He was at that school at age nine. He enrolled at age nine. He graduated summa cum laude from Loyola Chicago at age 12. He graduated from the school at 12. I need to know what Sho Yano thinks about the Ramblers. What did he think about Musselman not fouling down the stretch? We need Sho Yano in some type of basketball analytics inside that basketball program. Get him a job with the Ramblers. He was awarded a PhD in molecular genetics and cell biology at age 18. The kid had a PhD in molecular genetics and cell biology at the age of 18. He became the youngest person to graduate with an MD at age 21. He has been called a real-life Doogie Howser and is currently a pediatric neurology resident at the University of Chicago. Sho Yano.
Don't you know?
That's March Madness. That is the story of the tournament.
Don't you know?
Don't you know, Sho Yano?
Don't you know?
Last night, Sho Yano's Ramblers dancing into the Elite Eight, where we assumed they would take on Kentucky because the road had opened up wide for the Wildcats. Kentucky had knocked off 12-seed Davidson and then 13-seeded Buffalo because the Bulls had plowed through Arizona in the round of 64. That meant Kentucky went through a 12 and a 13 and then was facing the 9. Last night against K-State, and had they won, would have faced the 11-seed Loyola Chicago Sho Yanos. Instead, they lose 61-58 last night. And after the game, as K-State is celebrating, Kentucky does not wait to shake their hands. They head back into the locker room. K-State was raw. K-State was upset. K-State felt like it was a sore loser moment by the Wildcats. Here was John Calipari.
I went down to shake their hands too, and they were turned and celebrating, so that I walked off. What had no disrespect for anything, just that they were celebrating, and I was happy for them to, I walked off too. But I went down, I shook all the coaches' hands. I went down to shake their hands, and they were, you know, which I understood. They're in the Elite Eight game now, chance to go to the Final Four. So that was no – my team's not like that. Neither is our program. There's no disrespect in any way.
Okay, so let's pick this apart a little bit. Number one, I think Kentucky looked at this road, saw a 9 seed in front of them, either an 11 or a 7 to go to a Final Four. I think they heard all week about how the road opened up, that they were heavy favorites to get to a national championship game or at least a Final Four. The bracket had broken perfectly for them. That John Calipari had been told that he was in a bracket of death when the brackets came out. And instead, look, this unbelievable great fortune broke his way, and here they were, needed to go through a 9 and an 11 to get to a Final Four. And I do think those Wildcats players started to get ahead of themselves because, boy, did they play sloppy last night. I will absolutely credit K-State because their defense harassed, hounded, got after Kentucky all night and forced them into turnover after turnover after turnover. But I just didn't see the same fire for the Wildcats of Kentucky last night as I saw down the stretch of the SEC season and then in the SEC tournament. I did not see that same Wildcats team. And I thought the way that they were playing, they were only getting better. And instead, after dismantling Buffalo by 20, they played a sloppy game last night. And I think after the game, they were frustrated. They were probably surprised. I think those are young kids. A lot of freshmen as always for Kentucky. And I think they didn't realize how tough every competitor is in the tournament, saw the other team dancing, and didn't really want to stick around. So yeah, I think that there was maybe a lack of humility, maybe a lack of professionalism by not waiting until Kansas State finished celebrating. Because you know what? Shoe is on the other foot. I'm sure Kentucky would be celebrating. However, John Calipari shook the hands of all the coaches. I mean, once the head coach and his players shake the hands of the coaches, at that point in time, I don't really understand how necessary it is to stick around to wait until the celebration is over so that you can then shake the hands of the players that just beat you. If you go through the handshake line and the players aren't there because they're celebrating, but the coaches are and you shake the hands of the coaches, to me, that's pretty good. Do I need everybody sticking around waiting till the end of the parade to shake hands? I don't need it. Now, had Kentucky and Coach Cal beelined into the locker room and didn't shake hands with the coaches, I'd have a big problem with that. But Cal shook hands with the coaches, turned around, his players turned around. K-State Wildcats are going crazy at midcourt. And I get it. All right, let them do their thing. Let them do their thing. I think this is great because college basketball needs more villains and because Cal is a great villain. He plays that role great. He snarls and yells and barks. He calls out Coach K. He creates the one-and-done factory. He's left schools on probation, vacated Final Fours. I get it. He's a great villain. But I just don't believe that Kentucky is purposefully unprofessional or purposefully a bad loser. I don't believe that. I honestly don't think that's the way that Coach Cal coaches those guys. I don't. Credit to K-State. They played a better basketball game. They harassed Kentucky all night long. All night. So many turnovers. And Kentucky's got to make free throws there. Free throws killed them last night. But I just can't sit here and kill Kentucky suggesting that somehow Coach Cal coaches that program to not respect their opponents. I actually think the opposite. I think he drills into their brain all the time, you're not that good, because Coach K recruits kids that are told all the time how good they are. He recruits all these one and dones that are told by the time that they're 15, 16 years old, you're going to the league, you're going to the NBA. So he's got to get all these kids with huge egos on the same page. I think he beats the snot out of them, telling them that they're not that good constantly. I don't believe that he teaches them to be sore losers. I'm not on that train. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we return, March Madness in full swing. Sweet 16 action last night. Everybody focused on the college basketball. And yet, in the cover of darkness, an NBA team lost by 60. That would never happen to show, you know. We'll discuss next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Programming note. The DA Show and the rest of CBS Sports Radio is now on Sirius XM 206. We are on one channel, one number. You have to remember now, which is great. Satellite radio, Sirius XM 206. So go to that on your Sirius XM if you are traveling, if you're on the road, rental car, or if your normal affiliate doesn't pick us up. Maybe you're outside of your normal listening area. Sirius XM 206. In fact, I was listening to it in my rental car today as I made my way here to the studios as I'm down in West Palm Beach for spring training this week. 1230 The Zone down here hosting me, our affiliate, our great affiliate of the Palm Beaches. I was listening to Taz and the Moose of Clark Kellogg on this morning, among others. Good stuff from those guys. So I got to hear that in sparkling clear XM Sirius 206. Good stuff. Check it out if you have Sirius XM or you're outside of your normal listening area. We're now on one channel. Easy to remember. This game preview brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. NCAA March Madness is filled with surprising Cinderella stories. So best to go with the sure thing. B-Dubs, the official hangout for March Madness, where you won't miss a moment. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. Tonight, Syracuse and Duke. Two-seeded Blue Devils, 11-seeded Orange in the Midwest Regional Semifinal. Sweet 16 en route to an Elite Eight. Winner goes on to the Elite Eight. That's a 9:37 Eastern tip on CBS. Of course, Syracuse's surprise run behind their 2-3 zone, but Duke has seen the 2-3 zone every year when they play, including this year as well. Second meeting of the season, first meeting. Syracuse loses by 16, 60-44. And I'll tell you, I just feel like tonight's matchup goes the same way. I think Duke's familiarity with the zone hurts Syracuse here. I think Duke's length and athleticism, a guy like Marvin Bagley, I think, will still get his shot, still get his buckets. And I don't foresee Syracuse being able to score enough to win this game. I have a tendency to believe that tonight's game will go the same way as the first matchup, which is kind of the same way that it went when they faced UNC in the ACC tournament. I think Syracuse hangs around to make it a game of the first half. Second half, the better team, better talent, familiarity with the zone, pulls away for a relatively comfortable win. I did not know this. I don't know how I didn't know this. We were talking about famous child prodigy and alum of Loyola of Chicago, Show You Know, who entered Loyola Chicago at age 9, graduated by age 12, had a PhD by age 18 there. He scored a 1,500 on his SATs at a 1,600 at age 8. And I joked and said he doubled up Mraz at age 8. What I didn't realize was actually not applicable here because Mraz never took his SAT. Mraz, how did you get out of not taking the SATs?
Well, if we follow the line of thinking here, and that was already been discussed, that I knew I wasn't going away to college, to a good college, because I didn't want to take part in communal showers, which I thought were a thing. I knew I would have to go to community college at least to start. And upon my reading, the most reading I've ever done, in at least New York State, a community college, if you go for at least 2 years and then transfer to another school, you do not need your SAT scores. Your 2 years of community college takes over for whatever SAT score would be. So, with the SATs not being on a school day and being on a Saturday morning, I said, I'm going to community college anyway. Why would I waste Saturday going to take a test? I've put in my work 5 days a week. No way.
It's amazing that your decision-making came down to your entire future riding on why would I waste a Saturday? And it's also like, it's like 4 hours of your Saturday. It's not like an entire Saturday.
I'm waking up early to do what? To go sit in a classroom? I just did that 5 days a week. You give me the SATs on Wednesday afternoon when I'm already in school, I'm taking them. I'm not forfeiting another day. I'm not forfeiting my off day. Not happening.
People think that you might be joking, but this really was how the onion was peeled. It, at its core, you said, I'm not going away to school because I'm not comfortable showering with other guys. You felt like that's what college is all about. And that was the real sticking. That was the sticking point. That was the big thing, right? You just were uncomfortable showering in communal showers.
Correct. That was what I was told. And then I found out like 2 years in, that wasn't necessarily the case if you had the right dorms at certain schools. But the cat was out of the bag by that point. There were no SATs. And I was going to Suffolk Community College at the time.
Yeah, so you didn't realize that, like, out unless you were going to West Point to be a cadet, like most of us didn't have communal showers.
This is the way I thought. And now the whole irony of this whole thing was because I was just in my own car doing my own thing. It actually took me 3 years to complete the 2-year community college.
It's great because it's true. It's great because it's true. Last night in the NBA, Grizzlies and Hornets. Here's a game you didn't need to watch. If you missed this because you were watching the Sweet 16, that's okay. Final score, Hornets 140, Grizzlies 79. I'll repeat that. Hornets 140, Grizzlies 79. Let me just repeat that. Charlotte scored 140 points. The Grizzlies didn't score 80. That's a 61 point win. How does that taste, JB Bickerstaff?
When you've got a bunch of young guys, they don't understand what it takes to survive in this league. If you want to make it, there's a matter of bounce back. There's a matter of pride.
The bounce back part. The Hornets were 10 games under 500 going into last night. The Charlotte Hornets were 10 games under 500 last night, and they won by 61 points. It's one of the largest deficits or biggest wins in NBA history. Just some of the numbers from this are absolutely hysterical. Number one, Kemba Walker went for 46 in the win. Add 12 from Jeremy Lamb, 15 from Marvin Williams, 14 Frank Kaminsky. Dwayne Bacon throws in 15. Marcus Paige has 9. Willie Hernan Gomez has 10. Everybody eats when you play the Grizzlies. And Memphis is one of the worst teams, if not the worst team in all of the NBA, losers of like 3 months straight. But there is no reason to lose a game by 61 points. At one point last night, the Hornets led by 65. They led by 65. How does it happen? When you can get down by 65 points. Kemba finished with 46. He had 35 in the first half. Had Kemba kept shooting in the second half, dude would have hit 70. Kemba Walker scored 46 last night for Charlotte. The entire Grizzly starting lineup scored 42. So essentially, if it was Kemba Walker versus the entire Grizzly starting lineup. So Kemba Walker and then me, Mraz, Bogish, and Bilotti against the Grizzly starting lineup, the Hornets win. Jarrell Martin, his final plus-minus last night, Grizzlies forward, minus 44. That means when he was on the floor last night, his team got outscored by 44. 4 points. It's a 61-point win. Oh, but the NBA season shouldn't be shortened. We should play all 82 of these games. Even for teams that have nothing to play for, that want the season to be over, that can't wait for this whole thing to be done, playing young players and nobody cares. No, let's just keep playing these games. You know, where we have 61-point wins. 140 points in a game is startling. But how about from a team that was 10 games under 500? What are we doing? When we come back, speaking of, how about Dwight Howard's 30-30 the other night? I want to delve into this because I wasn't on the air yesterday, and I really have a stat that I think is going to blow your mind about this. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hear the 12 DAs of Christmas as they happen.
So it's L in three stripes?
No!
Come on! You can't be that dumb.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember to like our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheDAShow. Go there, like the show page. That way, every single week, we'll get your timeline popping when we do Trash Tuesday, as well as when we do our Target Demo Friday. Always taking your input. Also, you'll get videos of everyday shows there, although today we are not simulcast on the video side of things because I am on remote at 12:30 The Zone in West Palm Beach. But usually every day when we're in studio, we will upload the best clips to our Facebook page. And also, I will post the most recent PGP, Permission Granted Podcast there, the show about the show, as well as the most recent episodes of Nomad. This week's episode of Nomad, the ACC tournament 2 weeks ago that I got to take in the middle of a snowstorm, a blinding snowstorm, a Tobacco Road-based basketball league heading to Brooklyn, New York. There's some inconsistencies there, to say the least. I'd like to take a few cracks at it, poke a little bit of fun at it. That was a lot of fun as well. My good friend Bill Roth, the longtime voice of the Virginia Tech Hokies, joined me on the Nomad as well. So check that out by going to my Nomad page. Just search my name in Nomad. You'll see this week's episode, or you can go to either Facebook or Twitter, any of the places that I normally post those videos or links to the videos. And that is how you're going to get a DA Show koozie. You've got to subscribe to the Nomad channel. That way we have your username. And all you got to do is subscribe to the channel and then email us your subscriber name, your YouTube username, and then your mailing address. And we are taking entries until April the 1st. In which case, after that, I'm sending out our boatload of DA Show koozies to 100 lucky winners. So make sure you do that now because the clock is ticking. Just a little over a week left to get your entries in on April the 1st when the deadline ends. So today, subscribe to my YouTube channel on Nomad, specifically the Nomad channel, and then Bingo Bango, email me your mailing address at the email address that's posted. That's on both Facebook and on YouTube. And at that email address, we'll get you all hooked up with the information. We'll have your information, rather, and then hopefully get you hooked up with one of our awesome Little Wet, Little Drippy koozies. And you'll see a picture of the koozie there as well on either Facebook or on Twitter. March Madness is here. Tune in all week to TBS and CBS on the go with March Madness, live or listen on Westwood One. So the other night, Dwight Howard goes for 30-30, which is a particularly amazing accomplishment. It had not happened in years. So if you go all the way back to Kevin Love on the Minnesota Timberwolves, it's a significant accomplishment in NBA history. It does not happen often. Dwight Howard turned back the clock, 30 points, 30 rebounds. Really impressive. It had happened with Kevin Love back in 2010-2011. He did 31-31. So Kevin Love did this 7 or 8 years ago. Before that, it had not happened since 1982 with Moses Malone, who went for 38-32. So it's rare. This is only the third 30-for-30 or 30-30 since 1982, three of them in 36 years. So it's a big deal. Nice job by Dwight Howard, turning back the clock, looking like Dwight Howard of his NBA Finals year 10 years ago, going to the finals with the Orlando Magic. Nice job, Dwight Howard, The guy's been a clown show for most of his career since then. And there's his moment, 30 and 30. So people are like, wow, Dwight Howard did 30 and 30. Wow, this is so rare. I can't believe he did it. I mean, this just doesn't happen often. It's happened once since Moses Malone in 1982 outside of Dwight Howard. This is amazing. And it's true. I mean, some of the greatest in NBA history are on this list. Elgin Baylor had two of them in 1961. Two of them. Bill Russell had three of them in the 1950s. Three 30 and 30s. Wow. Bill Russell. Elgin Baylor. Bob Pettit had one.
Oh, wow, my
1958, he had one. Wow. Bob Pettit had a 30 and 30. Amazing.
Oh, my God.
Elvin Hayes had a 30 and 30 in 1973. Wow. These are great players, huh? Great. Jerry Lucas had two of them in the 60s.
Oh, my God.
These are big, big games. Wow. And then you realize Wilt Chamberlain did this 124 times. Again, this has not happened since Kevin Love nearly a decade ago, and before that, Moses Malone in 1982. So this has happened now three times in 36 years. And Wilt Chamberlain did it 124 times. Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kareem, Magic. These are the greatest of all time. And we never talk about Wilt Chamberlain because he couldn't win the big one for so many years and lost all those battles against Bill Russell. But Wilt Chamberlain's statistics are so stupid. I mean, the guy averaged 50 points per game for an entire season. He averaged 50, averaged over an 82-game season, 50 points per game. He had 124 30 and 30s. When you go back over some of these 30 for 30s, it's absolutely, or 30 and 30s, it's absolutely stupid. Do you realize he had 270 30s? In fact, he had won 70-40 game. In 1961, he went for 78 points and 43 rebounds. He had 8 60-30 games. He had 12 40 rebound games with the 30 points. Five of them were triple doubles with assists. I mean, come on. Come on. That's not real. That's not real. Bill Russell, 3 30 and 30s. Elgin Baylor, 2 30 and 30s. Kareem, 0 30 and 30s. Moses Malone, 1 30 and 30. Hakeem Olajuwon, 0 30 and 30s. Wilt Chamberlain, 124 of them. Now, this is what is also amazing to me. I bring this up on social media. I bring this up on Twitter yesterday. And all anybody can say is, oh, who cares? His competition stunk. My man J. Luke in Tennessee, bah, D.A., getting 30 of anything is impressive, but Wilt played against a bunch of stiffs. I just kept hearing this, how bad it was back in the day that Wilt, that's not that impressive. Are you kidding me? He did it 124 times. 124 times. 124 times, and people are not impressed. Eh, whatever. I mean, this is when you know you become too cynical about sports. When you look back at a guy that went 30-30 124 times and go, eh, who cares? Bad stiffs he was playing against. Come on. That's not right. I mean, please. 124 30 and 30s, and we made a big deal about Dwight Howard doing it once. Bob tweets, Wilt never faced the athletes that Dwight Howard faces night in, night out. Mike, not impressive. Look at Wilt's competition. Scrooge McDuck, playing against 6 foot white guys wearing knee pads. Shocked he only had 124 of those. I mean, guys, 124 30 and 30s. I don't care who you're playing against. Everyone's like, oh, no big deal. Well, then why didn't Bill Russell have 124 of them? Why didn't Elgin Baylor have 100 of them? Come on. 124. He had multiple 70-30 games. Give Wilt a little bit of credit here. The dude was the most dominant force ever in the NBA. He just didn't win enough championships for people's liking. And he was hard to play with. A lot of coaches didn't like him. Teammates didn't like him. Thought he was about himself, and so it doesn't fit the narrative that we like. You need to win and be selfish or be unselfish. That's it. That's the only things that we accept. If you don't win and you're selfish, nobody likes you. But, I mean, damn it, 124, 30, and 30s? Please. That's legit. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227. Connect with us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. We'll have Steve Lavin, Turner Sports, talk to us about Sweet 16 last night coming up here in about 30 minutes from now. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on car insurance. I want to take this moment just to address what I feel is the elephant in the room, and that is this week's Permission Granted podcast. As you know by now, if you're a true D-alien, it's the show about the show within the show. And over the last couple of weeks, a man by the name of Robbie Rosenhaus, a.k.a. The House.
Robbie.
Has become a talk topic here on the show. I believe he has become the evil alter ego to Mraz.
I love Robbie.
He's larger. He's bolder. He's balder. If you can believe that.
Correct.
And Robbie did a PGP side B right around the NFC Championship game. And that was the story about how he left the game early despite being a Vikings fan from Philadelphia because he was entrusted with driving wives and girlfriends of some of the players back to the players' hotel. And we just didn't buy that story. Him and Mraz sparred the side B. I liked how they sparred. I thought they had good chemistry. Embrace debate, if you will. I said, you know what? You guys got something good there. So Robbie Rosenhaus, I wanted to have back on the show. But people around the office don't like Robbie. And
that
I can't
right.
help it. I can't help it because I like him. I like him. I think he's got spunk. But people don't like him. So I had him on the PGP to discuss his rivalry with Mraz. And I asked him pointedly why people around the office don't like him. Well, he had a bunch of reasons he felt. I think a lot of people don't like him because they feel he shirks his responsibility as a producer around the office. And during the PGP Inquisition, he denied that. Now, I have been on the road. I left on Tuesday night. I've been on the road Wednesday, Thursday, now today doing the show. I have only heard from remotely. There's been some fallout around the PGP. Mraz, fill me in. Where do we stand right now around the office after the Robbie Rosenhaus tell-all interview on the PGP?
Well, I could tell you from multiple people, there are multiple people not happy with you that you use their name to signal out that Robbie maybe wasn't liked by them, but then they further backed up that it was true, and Robbie's approached several people just to ask him where he stands and saying, I don't care how you feel about me, I'm a star. He's told people around here he's a star now.
Robbie.
No. He said, I'm a star?
From what I understand and sources close to the situation, he has told several people, I am a star, and this is just the beginning of my star.
That is right.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding you. I was only delivered this information this morning.
Quote, I'm a star, and this is the beginning?
This is the beginning. He's beating his chest, and he's standing over the grave of everybody in his way.
You kidding me?
Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. So how did you think, Mraz, how he came off in the PGP? What did you think, honestly?
Honestly, I thought he was entertaining. I thought he was polarizing, and he had an insane ability to be completely wrong, but by basically selling you that he was right. Like, you walked out of there, like, feeling good about him, and then going, wait a minute. He just copped to being completely wrong, and I walked out of there feeling like I like him more.
Turns out, we didn't know this, he's an Uber driver in his off time, says he's driven many famous people around, including a supermodel, and that he's got Uber stories.
Yeah, I mean, again, I would question whether to believe him or not, but we didn't believe him about driving Philadelphia Eagles players' wives or Vikings players' wives home, and we turned out and factually backed it up that that's correct.
So you're telling me that the Robbie Tell-All PGP has done worse damage to his already battered reputation?
I would say so, 100%.
Listen to the PGP by going to iTunes, search Permission Granted. We've also tweeted it out and posted it on Facebook as well. When we come back here on the show, can anybody who won last night win the national title? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.